Ashtaprishu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudiraya Krishne Swadamo Pagate Dharma Gyanadi Visa Kalo Nashta Drisham Esha Purna Narko Danodita Shrimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyam Ekam Amalagyanam Param Giyate. Tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam naishkarvyam avishkritam tachchinvan supatan vicharana paro bhaktya vimuchyen naraha shlokam ekam tadardam va param padardam eva va Shadavanyo nushuniyat punat yatmanameva saha Saraviranta saram hi shi bhagavatam ishyate Tandrasam rita triptasya nanyatrasya drati kuchit Krishna tulya bhagavata vibhusarvashray prati shloke pratyakshare nanartakai arimadyante bhagavate kai Vishnu bhakti nitya siddha akshaya avyay premamaya bhagavata krishna rashiyanga Tahate kahena jata gopya krishna ranga Vandeham shigaro sriyuta parakamlam Shigurun vaishnavamscha Shirupam sagrajatam sahagana raganatanvitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagan Alalita Shivashakan Vitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Nityanamane. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane. Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane. Rara Sammukha Samsaktim Saki Sangha Nivasinim. Tamaham Satatam Vande Guru Rupam Param Sakim. Yankali Rupa Shariranadharata. Tan Braja Prima Mahanati Kutarika Konkapata Ugadata. Shri Rup Shri Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath. Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath. Echai Gosaya Kari Charanavandan. Jahamaite Vignanash Abhishta Puran. Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Anandalila Maya Vigrahaya Himavadivyascha Visundaraya. Tasmai Maha Primarasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Balavi Varanam Bhoja Malane Nirtishalane. Nama Pranatapalaya Sri Krishnaya Namo Namaha. Shriman Rasarasarambi Vamshi Vatatata Stitaha. Karshan Venusuner Gopir Gopinatha Shriye Stunaha. Mahabhava Sarupa Tvam Krishna Priyavariyasi. Prema Bhakti Prade Devi Radhike Tam Namam Yam. Pajami Radham Aravinda Netram. Smarami Radham Madurasmitasyam. Padami Radham Karanabharadram. Tato Mamanyasti Gatir Nakapi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shrimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai. I think today we begin verse 13. Rasa Panchadaya. Panchadhyaya. Rasa Lila 29-33. This is verse 13. The continuing discourse or class discussion between Guru and Shishya. Shukadeva Goswami and his disciple Maharaj Parikshit. Shri Shukavacha Uktam Parastad Etate Chedya Siram Yata Gata Dvishan Napi Rishikesham Kim Ut Adhokshaja Priya. We can look at these words in each phrase and then the meaning of those words and then discuss the commentaries of the realized acharyas of devotion. Sripad Sridhar Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sanatan Goswami, Vallabhacharya, Sripad Vallabhacharya, and also His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Uktam Purastad Etat Pura Purastad. He's saying, listen, why, my dear student, Parikshit, why are you asking this question about the gopis' attainment, that they attained Bhagavan by thinking of him in what seems to be lust, kamam? The principle of attaining Bhagavan by any particular emotion, even hatred or fear, has already been discussed. I've already taught you that. Uktam purastad. Purva means before. Purvarag, prior, before. In the beginning of the 10th canto, I discussed how if someone approaches Bhagavan with fear, bhayam, fear of death, annihilation, he gets liberated. Kansa, King Kans, so fearful, predicted that this boy, the 8th son of Devaki, will kill you. So if your death is predicted by a particular person, death itself will be create imminent death, will create strong fear within you. And the identifying the individual will direct your fear towards that individual. He or she will be the cause of my death. Day and night, when is he coming? Where is he? When is he? I must kill him before he kills me. Go Putana, go Trinavart, go Aga, go Keshi, go Shakat, one by one. All failures. I told you before, long ago, in the 7th canto, Purastaruktam, Purva Uvacha, I spoke to you before in 7th canto. So this is what's being said here. He's saying that before, I already told you this. There's some commentary on this point also. So then, the next line, Shukadev Goswami says, don't you remember? Sometimes we say, what is that verse by Srinath Chakravarti Thakur that describes the Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana of Gaudiya Vaishnavism? Remember that verse? No. Begins with Aradhya. Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayos Sridham Vrindavanam Ramya Kachit Upasana Brajabadu Bir Sakalpita. Like this. So Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, he says, why didn't the Guru Sukadev cite the most recent example of Agasura, who achieved perfection in Vrindavan, and instead he cited an example from Mathura Leela? Because Chedi Raj, who's in the next verse, Uktam Purastat Etate Chedya Siddhim Yatagata. That Chedi, C-E-D-I, Raj. Chedi Raj attained Siddhi, Mukti, by being killed by Krishna in the Rajasuya Yajna in Hastinapur. Who is Chedi Raj? Chedi Raj is Kamsa's father-in-law. Father-in-law. Because two of his wives, I think one of them is called Prapti. One of Kansa's wives is called Prapti. Prapti, and the other one's called Siddhi. I think so. Siddhi Prapti. That's not really desirable to attain, but he thought so. At any rate, the two daughters of Chedi Raj became the two of the wives of Kans, who is Chedi. Chedi Raj is the king of Chedi. Where is Chedi? Bihar. The province of Bihar is Chedi, called, in ancient days called Chedi. We know him by the name of Shishupal. You've heard of Shishupal? He went heads over heels about Krishna. Or let's say he lost his head. He really put his head into his service, but he lost it, as Krishna took his chakra and cut his head off. So then Vishnathi, because some people ask, why is this is Mathura Leela? Mathura Leela, when Krishna went to Hastinapur, Dwarka Mathura, because he was attacking Mathura. So Shishupal, suddenly he says, by citing Shishupal, Shukadeva Goswami reveals a confidential truth to King Parikshit. What is that truth? Just as the gopis were kept in their houses, eventually attained spiritual bodies. Similarly, Shishupal assumed his eternal spiritual body as an associate of the Lord at the removal of his Gunamaya material body, attained by a sage's curse because of his extreme materialistic illusion. So most everyone knows the Purva sanskar, or the Purva identity, prior identity of Shishupal. And he's comparing him that Jahur Gunamaya Deham. The gopis gave up the Gunamaya Deha, but not by getting their heads cut off with a disc. But the root of their material attachment, whatever influence and materiality was remaining, was cut by the fire. Not the fire, intense fire of Krishna's chakra, but by the intense fire of viraha. Krishna viraha tivratap. Previous verse we discussed. Krishna viraha tivratap. Tivratap, intense fire of Krishna viraha. Separation from Krishna burned their gunamaya deha. But they didn't die, nor did they lose their head, nor their heart. They lost their heart. Krishna stole their heart. Prana. Krishna's Hari stole their prana. So they gave up their Gunamaya Deha, they attained their spiritual bodies, their Vastu city, and then they went to Krishna the next night. So Chedi Raj, Shishupal, he gave up his Gunamaya Deha, but his head was cut off because he was completely materialistic body. So his head was cut off and then he attained his spiritual body. Who is he? He didn't merge. His separate identity is described as shining separately from Krishna, then entered Krishna. That doesn't mean it was Sayuja Mukti, it's Sarupya Mukti. Separate shining, the particle of consciousness was shining outside of Krishna's body, then appeared to enter Krishna's body. So the materials will say Sayukta Mukti. He merged with the Brahman effulgence of the Lord. But our Vaishnavacharyas say that Shishupal is none other than Jaya and Vijaya. Jaya and Vijaya were suffering from a sage's curse, as Vishnu says. The removal of his Gunamaya material body, which Shishupal attained by a sage's curse because of his extreme materialistic illusion. Those sages were rather diminutive in form and young in age. They're known as the Chatus Kumara. Sanak Kumar and Sanatan Sanandana, they came to the gates of Vaikuntha to meet with Lord Vishnu, and they reached the outer gate with their Shantaras conception, and they had gotten to the seventh outer gate. There are six inner gates after that. Like you might say, this is the outer gate, and then there's a couple of gates before you get inside the temple to Thakurji's darshan, Radhagiri Dhari. So there was some, by the Lord's Yogamaya arrangement, there was some blockage. So, this is Gopi Bhav, no? You should be shy before other men. I mean, I can show my face to other gopis, but I can't show my face to the men. So I can go like this, and I can go like this. So it's like, oh, these flies are masculine. Mucky is masculine. Mucky means fly. And they're in paramour love. I don't belong to them. I belong to another. I'm not of them. I don't belong to them, but they're too much attracted to Radha Kunti Lal. So Vishwanath is explaining that, listen, Shukadev, your memory is not serving you very well. Shukadev is saying, listen, Pariksha, you're not remembering. I talked to you about Shishupal. But you should remember, because the principle of Shishupal and his envy, Shishupal, here, as I cited, in the beginning of 10th canto, in Vrindavan Leela, Kansa was liberated because of his fear, and Shishupal, he was envious from birth, extremely envious of the Lord, and he took 3 births per the curse of Sanat Kumara, the 4 Kumaras, the small sages, 5-year-old boy sages. Sages curse, and the first birth was in Satyuga as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, and then in the Treta Yuga and Ramlila, Kumbhakarna and Ravana, a beautiful pair of brothers with extreme qualities of amazement. And then in Dwapara Yuga, they became Shishupala and Dantavakra. Even there's a village outside of Mathura, on the border of Mathura and Vrindavan, called Datiha. You can see in your Braj Parikrama books, Datiha. Datiha means the place where the daitya, where the demon daitya was liberated, killed. Dati or daitya means Dantavakraharana gown. The village where Dantavakra, the word vakra means bent, trivakra means bends, and dant means teeth. So if your teeth are bent, you will go to a dentist and get braces. You never heard of braces? Some metal things they put on the teeth and rubber bands. So his name is Dantavakra. Have you heard of Ashtavakra Muni? Ashtavakra? It's said he gave up his body in the west side of Kusum Sarovara, facing the rising sun, the eastern direction. And he was looking across Kusum Sarovara, remembering the pastimes of Krishna, at least I would think so. And he gave up his body there, and there's a samadhi of Ashtavakra Muni, at least that's the story that's told. And you can see the carving of the sage. He was a very powerful sage. Ashtavakra, Ashta means 8, Ashtasakis. His body was bent not in 3 places, Tribhangi, but in 8 places. Krishna likes 3 bends, that's nice, but he doesn't like 8 bends so much. But he likes everyone, he loves everyone. So we see that Krishna, he's Tribhangi Shyam, and Radharani is Tribhangini. She's Tribhangini Radha, she's Tribhangi. She is also bent in 3 places, at her knee, her hip, and her neck. And so birds of a feather flock together. So when Krishna went to Mathura, he fell in love. He only fell in love with one girl. And she had 3 bends. What was her name? Kubja. And her second name was Trivakra. So she was bent in 3 places. Oh, look. Hey, look, Gopas, another Trivangi, like me. So naturally they flocked together, they were attracted to each other. It was love at first bend, at first sight. That's very interesting. Usually we like people that are like us, for some odd reason. They say opposites attract, but it's not true. Usually you like people that are similar to you. So this is the first point he makes in the first line. Uktam purastari tatte chedya siddham yatagata haribo. Though the king of sages, Shukadev, knew that Parikshit was not asking this question, which he asked in verse 12, the gopis didn't know that Krishna was God, Paramatma, Bhagavan. They simply thought of him as their paramour, their lover, their kanta, Krishna kanta, Radha kanta, Gopi kanta. So how you get liberated by thinking of your lover? So many men have lovers and so many women have lovers. And as I said, you don't get liberated, you get bound, more bound. The more you think of the materialistic people or persons, the more you get attached. Janasya mohoya mahamameti. My girlfriend, my boyfriend, my wife. And that's a moha, an illusion which attaches one firmly to this world. So he says that it seems that although Shukadev knew the Parikshit, why was he asking the question in verse 12, which precedes the verse we're discussing, verse 13, and was established yesterday that he asked the question to remove the doubts that were lurking in the minds of the materialistic people in the audience. There wasn't so many materialistic people, that's what it says though, in the commentaries. At least those that had some material idea about Krishna's lila and Krishna's propriety or impropriety or morality or immorality in his Vrindavan lila, which is a source of great consternation for most commentators and even rishis and sages and demigods. Brahma couldn't figure out Krishna's lila, even his Sakyaras, what to speak of his Madhuryaras, and Shiva and Indra, so many got bewildered simply by the display of Krishna's cowherding pastimes, what to speak of his Madhurya Leela and his dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Leela. Very mysterious and bewildering for the greatest of demigods and greatest of sages and rishis. Then, before, and even now, Shripad Madhvacharya, he says this Krishna Leela, these gopis are some apsaras, some devis that maybe came and seduced Krishna, but this is not the Krishna whom we worship. This is not the Krishna of our sampradaya, Madhva sampradaya. We worship the Krishna Vaikuntha and Dasiras, and we worship the Krishna of Dwarka, who is lawfully married, Maryada Krishna, like Ram, the one who follows rules and regulations, Mathura Krishna, and moreover, Dwarka Krishna. Throughout South India and everywhere you see, when Krishna deities are established, they're established with the Shakti of Rukmini or Dwarkadish, or occasionally you'll see Arjuna and Krishna. The most famous temple is the Parthasarathi temple in, I believe, Madras or Trivandrum. We went there in 1986, but I can't remember where because we went so many places. So this is the general conception that Krishna of Kurukshetra and Krishna of Dwarka. There's some they make up stories and folk tales, and as I mentioned before, folk tales about Krishna running through the forest with cows. It's nice that these stories were created by the Abhiras because they're folk stories. The Alok Vichar, there's a name for it. The stories that are created by the people to romanticize their own culture, to create a hero. We're coward men. We're wandering around Kamyavan and throughout Brajmandal. So let's create a heroic figure. So they took one amongst themselves and made him a super coward boy. And then he becomes a hero of us, a coward boy, a coward clan, the Abhiras. So this is often people describe like this. In Kshatriyas, there's some famous hero, or in feminine queens, there's the Rani of Jhansi. The Rani of Jhansi or something, the queen of the the king of Jhansi was killed in battle, and his wife, the Rani, the queen, she took up the horse and sword. Is that right? Anyone knows? And she went and led the troops in the battle against the, I suppose, British. And when the British and Indian kings were fighting for their lands and independence from the British, so she's glorified, or the princess who became the devotee. Of course, these are realistic people. This Mirabai, the princess who was a great Giridhari Bhakta. Again, Krishna and Dwarka. Swakiya Bhav, Giridhari is my husband, my pati, Krishna. So they say like this. So then he says that, he asks this question to remove their doubts. So Shukadev Krishna says, it seems that he's making a pretense of scolding his disciple. He's scolding him. Wait, why are you asking this? Why are you asking this question about Krishna? You can't attain, the gopis attaining Krishna by lust. I've already explained, he's attained by fear of Vayam, he's attained by envy. So it seemed like sometimes the guru scolds the disciple. You nonsense, you foolish, number one fool. But it's a pretense, which means he's not really scolding him, but he's doing that to chastise others for their foolishness. Because other people, us or even sages, doubtful, shamshai sages or rishis, other doubtful people might say, how is it possible you simply think of a kanta and you get mukti? It's not possible. So then Shukadeva is chastising Parikshit to actually scold the foolish people. So he's using him as a model, just like Arjuna is not a conditioned soul. He's a Nityaparishad of Krishna, but he appears to be confused. I'm confused about my duty and lost all composure because of miserly weakness. Karpanya dosho pahata sabhava. Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 verse 7. He's not confused, he's not bewildered about his duty, but he dropped his Gandiva bow and he made a pretense, I'm going to take sannyas, run from the battlefield and give up my dharma, Kshatriya dharma, and take on another's dharma and go against your will. But that was because most people are like that. They don't want to carry out their dharma. It becomes too difficult, too many obstacles, too much opposition. So they want to give it up or run away, run to Haridwar and take sannyas. It's a very common thing in the last 100 or 200 years. Some man gives up his family responsibility and runs to Haridwar. I'm taking sannyas. Leaves a young wife and child crying. So to prevent that and to establish dharma very clearly, then there was a stage set up, a teacher and a student. Okay, Arjuna, you pose as a bewildered student, the archetypal bewildered conditioned soul who doesn't understand God, he doesn't understand yoga, he doesn't understand the difference between karma, jnana and bhakti, he doesn't understand the identity of Krishna or Brahman or super soul, all these, he doesn't understand what are the modes of nature. He's bewildered. He's not a vidvan or a learned person. He's not vidya vinaya sampana. He's not a learned Brahmin. He's a foolish person. Krishna even says, while speaking learned words, you're acting like a fool. So he even says he's a fool. He's calling his parishad his fool. He's chastising Krishna's, as Krishna's chastising his friend, his parishad, Nitya Parishad Arjuna. Shukadev in verse 13 of Rasalila, chapter 29, he's chastising Parikshit, who's also another parishad of the Lord. But that's to chastise others. Shukadev said, you must have no intelligence at all, Parikshit, to be asking such a question. Previously in the seventh canto, I told you that Shishupal attained mukti, although he hated the Lord and was envious of the Lord. If Shishupal could attain mukti with an unfavorable attitude, what can we say of the gopis' favorable attitude characterized by conjugal love? This is called anukulya. anukulya bhav. Their bhav was favorable to love Krishna, want to offer one's body to Krishna for his happiness and pleasure, and to bring him joy and dance for his happiness and sing for his happiness and embrace and love him for his happiness. That's the greatest happiness in this world, the conjugal bliss of man and woman union. So they're very favorable. Krishna's calling us. He wants to be with us. He wants to enjoy us. Yes, take us. Our bodies, minds, and words, everything for you. Kaya Manavakya. Very favorable. Anukulya. Anukulyena Krishnanu. All their activities, their anushilanam. Their activities, their thinking, their moving, their speaking, their dressing, their dancing. Was all this anushilanam, all this cultivation, activity, and movements was for the anukulya. Krishna anukul, for the pleasure of Krishna. But Shishupal, he was envious, because if you're envious of a person, of someone, that means you hate them. If you hate them, you want to kill them. Because you may think that's not a good idea, you may get arrested, then you repress your instincts to kill the person, your envy or hate, and kill them by your words or by your statements or by your attitude. So Shishupal, he was like that while he was little, and when he grew up enough and he had the ability to kill Krishna, then what did he do? He attacked Mathura 17 times. Have you read Krishna book? Yes, no? No. I'm confused, Jarasan. But I mean to say, Shishupal, from his very babyhood, he was always decrying the Lord all the time. But at the same time, he was religious. He was the king of Bihar, and he's glorified as Ravana was a very religious king. Ravana was extremely religious. He was a Brahmin, Ravana. And he was learned in all the Vedas. But he was acting like a Kshatriya. He was a little lusty also. He really grabbed every lady in the universe, and very powerful by austerities and blessings of Shiva. He only made one mistake. Kshatriyas can conquer other Kshatriyas and take their queens, and that's part of their game, their life. But to take the Shakti of Ram, that was a big mistake. He became lusty after Sita Devi, and that was his demise. So Chedi Raj, Shishupal, is glorified in the Puranas. He gave so much charity. He took so much care of his citizens. He was really a wonderful king. If you compare Shishupal's kingdom and the happiness, everyone was very, very happy in Shishupal's kingdom. All the Brahmins were happy. All the devotees were happy. The Vishnu Bhaktas, everyone was happy. But he had an issue with a boy named Krishna. He was just envious from birth. And so, as I mentioned before, the first word he was learning was some curse word as a baby. And the second word he learned was Krishna. Krishna, you blank. So he was vehemently opposed to Krishna. And then he went to the Rajasiya sacrifice where Sahadev proposed that Krishna should receive the Agra Puja, the first worship at the Rajasiya sacrifice. The Rajasiya sacrifice establishes the sovereign of the entire world. And that was going to be, of course, Yudhisthira, the emperor of the world. But before that, there's a yajna where they worship the most glorious person in the assembly, who may or may not be the Rajasuya, or the emperor being established as the world emperor. The function was held by Yudhisthira to establish his empire. And prior to that, the challenge horse was sent around the world with Bhima and Arjuna, I believe, and inviting everyone, you please submit your kingdom and yourself to the lordship of my elder brother, Dharmaraj Yudhisthira. If not, then we'll fight. So then everyone pretty much agreed, and they established this yajna, which took 2 or 3 years to arrange. And then, of course, all the kings were invited, and Shishupal came. But then, when Sahadev said, they made recommendations who should receive the first puja and worship. It's called Agra Puja. So some people said Shishupal because he's such a virtuous king, and other people said it was like an election of sorts. And Sahadev said, I think Krishna. And he gave reasons why he thought Krishna should be worshipped first. Then they took a vote, and everyone said, yes, Krishna. And then, Shishupal, he lost the election. He was even more, he was already envious. Oh, again, this person. So then he started spinning off his, shooting at the mouth, as they say. Shooting at the mouth, it's American slang. And he was just saying, Krishna, why are you choosing Krishna to worship? He's this and he's that. Don't you know? And that's the typical speech of envious people. When someone's envious of someone, they say, this person is bad because of this, and bad because of that, and bad because of this. Don't you see they're all bad? This woman, this man, he's like this or she's like that. Yeah, that's right. And I agree, and I'll throw in a few. I'll throw in my 2 cents and make it more stronger witch's brew. You're cooking your witch's brew of offenses or calumny. It's called calumny. Calumny, witch's brew of calumny cast against someone else, some woman or man whom you're envious of. And they're like this. Someone else says, hey, that's a very good brew that you're cooking. I can throw something into it. Watch. Yeah, they're like this and like that. And it's, yeah, and everyone's, yeah, yeah, kill, 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 chop him, kill him, chop her, kill her. You whip yourself into a fury of envy and hatred. This is materialistic mentality. This is called the demoniac mentality, which lurks within the dark corners of every conditioned soul's mind. Therefore, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Bhava Mala, Nam, heavy chanting of Nam, sweeping the streets of our mind, not just Main Street either. Don't just sweep Main Street of your mind, you have to sweep all the back alleys where the garbage trucks go to collect the cans. Go in all those little back alleys and sweep all back there. Kamesha, Krodesha, all these things have to go. So then he spoke 99 times. He vilified and blasphemed Krishna, Shishupal, and the Rajasuya sacrifice in Indraprastha, or Hastinapur, I don't know where it was. And then Bhima and the Pandavas, they lurched forward and pulled their swords. You rascal, shut up! Kill you! And then Krishna said, that's relax, this is all part of the Leela. Because Krishna knew that this was a curse. So then he would get 99 free flyer miles. He got 99 free flyer miles. And then that was the end of his free flying. And then Krishna let his chakra fly. And when he let his chakra fly, then off went his head. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains in commentaries that Krishna was such an expert surgeon that he cut off his head and cauterized and sealed all the veins and nerves and arteries, so not a drop of rakta bindu, not one drop of blood fell in the sanctified pavitram yagyashala, in the sanctified place of sacrifice of King Yudhisthira. His head went sailing out on the tali of the chakra tali. He cut his head off, and then the head's sitting there. And where did it land? It landed in the lap of his father. Shishupal's head landed in the lap of his father, who was outside in some encampment waiting to hear about the results because he was quite aged. So I got a nice surprise one afternoon. This is the Yuvaraj. Doesn't look like he's in good shape. So Krishna is so expert. So this was Shishupal. So it's like pretense of scolding. Why are you acting so foolish? In other words, people in the audience, had some of the sages and rishis and kings in the audience, they had this doubt. Gopis got liberated by lusting after a paramour? And that's, maybe there's some scope for us. The kings are thinking, the queens of Vrindavan, the gopis of Vrindavan were lusting after Krishna Kanta. And they gave up all their materiality and attained liberation with the spiritual world. And they're Siddhadeyas. Well, I'm a king. I'm also lusting after so many I have so many paramours. Maybe I'll get liberated also. So this type of foolishness or mentality, Parikshit could detect. We asked the question, then it was addressed by Shukadev. So these are the commentaries on the first two lines here of Uktam Purastad Etate Chedya Sitim Yatagata. The king of Chedi, Shishupal, he attained Yatagataha Siddhi. So Siddhi has so many different meanings, of course. Ashta Siddhis, Prem Siddhi, Mukti Siddhi, Siddhadeya Prapti, so many definitions. So again, this word, the generic word is Siddhim. Now the next line is Dvishan Napi Rishikesham. Dvishan means, in one sense, it means hatred. Dvishan Napi Rishikesham. So it says that he, Shishupal, hated Krishna, but he achieved Siddhi. So there's, again, Vishnath gives a nice commentary on that, which we see here, that he talks about, well, Sridhar Maharaj has an interesting comment on that word also, actually. Dvishanapi. Although in the BBT they translate the word dvishan as hatred. It's part envy, hatred, dvish, or dvesh. Have you heard of this verse from Bhagavad Gita? Icha dvesha smutena dvanda mohena bharata. Dvesh, dvandva mohena bharata. Krishna is telling about the nature of the buddha jiva, nitya buddha jiva, the eternally conditioned soul. He comes into this world he's functioning on twin engines, he's flying on a twin engine airplane, and it's the two engines, it's dvanda moha, dvanda, two illusions, two grand illusions cover the behavior, the outlook, the mentality, consciousness, and life of the conditioned souls, icha and dvesh, desire and envy. I want this, and I hate this. I want this, I like it, I have to have it. I hate this, I don't want it, get lost. Basically it means love and hate. Icha means desire. You desire the things that you want, or you love, or you're attracted to. And you hate the things that you don't want, or you're not attracted to. Icha, desire. Everyone well knows about calm desire, how many thousands of desires we have. Desires are flowing through our mind like rivers of desire. 1,001 and 1,001 and 1,000 more. Icha dvesha samutena. So this generally, dvesha is considered, it's very interesting because envy and hatred are always translated the same way. In Hindi we say irsha. Irsha? Irsha means envy. Does irsha also mean hatred? Sridhar Swami says dvesha means even in an unfavorable attitude, even in an unfavorable attitude symptomized by hatred. In other words, if even by that attitude, in other words, the hatred or envy of Shishupal towards Krishna, which actually awarded him liberation, if even the point is made here by the Acharya Sridhar Swami, even with that, that's really an unfavorable attitude. If you're hating someone, it's extremely unfavorable attitude. If even by that attitude, which is unfavorable, merging with the Lord can be attained, what to speak of the favorable attitude characterized by the gopis' love, conjugal love? So this is similar to Vishwanath. I mean, he stemmed his commentary on Sridhar Maharaj's, the Sridhar Maharaj from 1,200 years ago. So now an interesting, as I mentioned yesterday as a introduction to this verse, the Ras Lila is a divine love story. There's intimacy, there's all the elements of a love story, as we mentioned in the introductory lectures in Adi Gmas. This is the drama, has five acts to the drama, five chapters, five acts. There's five scenes in every act. There's five scenes in every chapter of the Ras Lila. And there's a hero and a heroine, and there's meeting, and then there's some exchanges, some communication, some dialogue, speaking back and forth. There's some small interactions. Then there's some disagreement, an argument, some fighting. Then there's separation. And then the lover, in this case, the lover is, Krishna is hiding from the gopis. The gopis are distraught and anguish and unhappy, and they're searching for him and crying for him, and separation. And then there's reunion. They come together again and meet, and then there's rejoicing. Rejoicing in love. The harmony and unity of lovers uniting together in the dance of eternal love, the Ras Lila. Now this is a beautiful story, a play, a movie, a drama. There's singing, there's dancing, there's happiness, there's sadness, there's suspense. But in the context of the whole love story, then there's all this tattva interwoven. And the tattva is, in one sense, when you see paintings of Ras Lila or the books in Connaught Place intended for the tourists, English-speaking European tourists or American tourists that come to India, the love lives of the dark lord, or the romantic pastimes of Krishna, and all these kind of books they have, and they have just paintings of the Ras Lila, and some of them are naked. They have naked paintings of the gopis and Krishna, and different scenes, bathing, Yamuna, dancing, all kinds of rather lewd and offensive books which are sold there. But there's in those books, there's no description of tattva. You won't find any mention of the word Paramatma or Bhagavan. Bhagavan Api. The Ras Lila begins, the first verse, 29.1, begins Bhagavan Api Ta Ratri. Bhagavan Api Ta Ratri. Bhagavan, God, the Absolute Truth. They say Krishna, Gopis, Radha, Krishna, Radha, Krishna. And Bhagavan, then there's Rishikesh. So you won't find, but you do find in the Ras Lila, as in this verse we're discussing, all the time, as I mentioned earlier, the word Paramatma is mentioned 9 times in the Ras Lila, 9 times in the 5 chapters. Krishna is the Paramatma. Bhagavan is once. The word Krishna is only mentioned once. And the word Achyuta is mentioned 9 times in 5 chapters, almost twice every chapter. And Achyuta is an Aishvarya name. It's not a Nikunja Bihari, Rasa Bihari. It's not a rasa-filled prema, Madhurya Prem Nam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes Madhurya Prem Nam and Vaikuntha Nam, Vrindavan Nam. So Vaikuntha Nam means Jagannath, Jagadish, Achyuta, Paramatma, Bhagavan. These are what we call Vaikuntha Nam, Aishvarya. They're full of Aishvarya, and they describe the Shristi Lila, the Shristi or Pralaya Lila, the creation Lila of the Lord, the maintenance Lilas of the Lord, the destruction Lila. But the Vrindavan Madhurya Lilas of the Lord, with his intimate exchanges with the coward boys and his mother and father and the gopis, you don't find these names. You find Nanda Dulal, Yashoda Dulal, Rasa Bihari, Sham, and Priyatam, like this. Bihari or Hari or Krishna. These are the prem-filled Vrindavan names. But in the Ras Lila, which is the epitome of Prem Lila, Madhurya Prem Lila, it's a Shringhar Ras. Parakiya Bhav Shringhar Ras, the epitome of pastimes, most intimate exchanges of divine love with the gopis of Vrindavan, the paramour illicit lovers of Krishna. Still, there's so much prevalence of not Madhurya Prem Nam, but Aishvarya Nam. Rishikesh, this verse says Rishikesh. We heard Achyuta, now Rishikesh, Adhoksuja, Rishikesha Madhoktaja Paramatma Achuta. Hey, what happened to the love story? We're on our way to the love story and we hit a detour and end up in Vaikuntha. Majesty and formality and rules and regulations and golden thrones and chariots and chamars and peacock feathers and peacock fans. Where's the kunjas? Where's the full moon? Where's the dancing? Where's the embracing? A very extraordinary flow on these pastimes. Because even 5,000 years ago, the rustic janas, there's Shukadeva Goswami is a great rustic Vaishnava. Brahmavivart Purana says that if he would simply hear the name of Radharani, so talk about rustic. Rasik, Rasika Bhavuvaka. How much bhav, how much Radha bhav Shukamuni has. How much intense love for Radha and Krishna he has, especially Radha. If Shukadeva Goswami simply hears someone say Ra, Dha, he becomes Avishta Chitta. Avishta Chitta means his whole existence merges in his Chit Shakti. Sat Chit Anand. He becomes inert because his whole existence, his indriya, existence through his indriya, his existence, his senses, existence through his mind, his powers of thinking and buddhi, discrimination, vivek, and analysis, and accepting and rejecting of the mind, sankalpa, kalpa, these powers, and his interaction of collecting sense impressions and perceptions and knowledge acquiring and functional action. Gyanindriya and Karmindriya, they all withdraw and emerge into the Atma, into his Chitta, and becomes Avishta, Avesh Chitta, Avishta Chit. And then he becomes inert, apparently, and Samadhi, dead. Just by hearing, it's called Avishta Chitta. Sat Chit Anand. These are the three divisional aspects of the living entity, the living being, the individual personality of consciousness. The individual personality of consciousness has three, is a mixture of three energies and levels of perception, interaction, eternality and consciousness and joy, aladani anand. So this is described. That's why he hides the name of Radha. And he mentions in maybe verse 28 of this chapter, anya aradita. Anya Radito. No one, Anya means no one else, Anya Aradita, can worship that Krishna like that one, like that gopi that left with Krishna. This is in. So just by saying Anya Aradito, it's in verse 28, I believe, he started to tremble. His voice became gadgada. Choked up, he started perspiring, romancha, his hair stood on end, like thorns on a simulia tree, standing up like. He said, no, I have my seva. This is impeding my seva, I must chase away this ecstasy. Like Taruka and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami describes that sattvic vikars interrupt the devotee's service. Generally, when we're sadhakas, we're practicing yoga, we want to get high. I want to experience. What is bhav? Bhav vikar, transformation. I want to tremble and feel that ecstasy of realizing Krishna, or seeing Krishna, experience sattvic bhavs. But if we do that, then we become dysfunctional, immobilized, and we can't serve. We start choking. Oh, oh, oh. Then how do we chant Hare Krishna? How do we go on Sankirtan? We go on Sankirtan and start chanting Hare Krishna. Hey, Prabhu, will you lead? Oh, you're useless. So Daruka, Rupa Goswami said, Daruka was fanning the Lord with chamara. Daruka, you know, is Krishna's sarati, Daruka. He drives his chariot, Daruka. Sarati means chariot driver. So then he was fanning the Lord because he doesn't just sit around, you know, when he's not. Yes, Krishna is a good engager. He doesn't say, okay, you drive the chariot, but if Krishna doesn't go for a ride for 2 weeks, it doesn't mean Taruka goes to sleep. He comes in, he's fanning the Lord with chamar. in Sudharma Assembly House during some function. And then as he was fanning, he was just lost. He was losing himself in the beauty of Dwarkadish. How attractive, how beautiful, and sweet to behold, a feast for the eyes, Nayanotsav, Sundara, Dwarkanath Sundara Nayanotsav. The beauty of Dwarkanath was like an utsav for his eyes, a festival for his eyes. Oh my Lord, it's so attractive, so beautiful. He started trembling, and the chamara is trembling, and he's perspiring, so he can't hold on to the chamara because it's all slippery from his perspiration. It's starting to slip from his hand because he's going like this and sliding. So then he was cursing. Rupa Goswami said he was cursing those symptoms of ecstasy. No, go. I don't want this bhav. I don't want to experience this bliss or be high or be there. I don't want to experience it because it's diminishing or interrupting my service. So this is the idea. So this is the words, these words are there, Rishikesh, and of course the acharyas, they comment, why is he saying Dvishanapi Rishikesham? Very nice commentary. We can see what Vishnu says. The word Rishikesham indicates that Krishna personally, well, Prabhupada, he also made a comment, because these comments are in the Krishna book. In the Krishna book, if you're very carefully read, you can find, which we did as our homework, we went through the Krishna book, Ras Lila, because Prabhupada, as we said in the introductory lectures, he only did line by line, verse by verse, up to chapter 13 of the 10th canto. But all the 90 chapters are in the Krishna book. So we thought, well, it's not fair, it's not true to say that Prabhupada didn't translate the Ras Lila, and it's not fair to say he didn't write commentaries, because he did. And they're in Krishna book. So if you go through, if you're Prabhupada's student or disciple, let's say, then you want to find out, how did Prabhupada translate these verses? With what bhav, with what insight, with what realization? And how did he comment? What did he see was important from the Adiatmik Vichar level, or the Adi Bhautika Vichar, or Adi Daivika Vichar? What did he want to emphasize to the world, and especially to me, his disciple, and to others, the followers of Srila Prabhupada? Because he's writing contemporary Tika in the 20th century. He's not writing in the 16th century like Vishnu Chakravarti, or the 15th century like Sanatana Goswami. He's not writing in the 9th century like Sridhar Swami. He's writing in the 20th century and for the so many future centuries. What is essential in this verse that people should know, that sadhakas and bhaktas should know and understand? So with that meditation and that perception and realization of his samadhi, Bhaktivedanta Tika, Prabhupada wrote the Bhaktivedanta Tikas. So they're there, and we're sharing those with everyone because we're saving you the time and doing the homework. So we separated the translations of the verses, and then we separated where he comments on those verses. So it's very inspiring engagement, actually, if you're that much interested in Prabhupada's commentaries, which I certainly am. Because he ranks, generally, the modern, of course, Bhagavad Pracharaks, they'll never mention Bhaktivedanta Swami says in this verse. In this verse, Bhaktivedanta Swami's Tika says, obviously not, because they have books that were written, published in the 50s or 70s, reprint of 11 commentaries of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And they have Sridhar Swami, Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, and Sri Jiva Goswami, and Vallabhacharya, and so many others are there, prominent. 11 prominent acharyas, Hari Sauri, and different ones, different acharyas. But they don't have Bhaktivedanta Swami there. He's so new. So we thought that's our duty as his disciple, to broadcast the commentaries of Bhaktivedanta Swami. And of course his followers and all of you, when you give class, you give your commentaries also. The Krishnadasi commentaries of Bhagavad Gita. or the Krishnadas commentaries, because that's what Prabhupada said. When you give a class on a verse, you should speak on that verse from all angles of vision. From all angles of vision. What does that mean? From Prabhupada's angle of vision, from Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati's angle of vision, from all the previous acharyas, from all the present acharyas, shiksha gurus, diksha gurus, and from your own angle of vision, because you also have a vision. You have vision also. Is it right? Go like this, yeah. So that's what it means. So what did Prabhupada say about these two lines? Someone says, how is it possible you go so slow? I said, I don't know. Sit in class and find out. Then we're speaking 60 hours. 60 hours and 7 days is 14. 75 hours and we're on verse 13. I'm speaking for 75 hours on 12 verses. You've been sitting here. That's the more amazing thing. Somewhere here in Adikamas also. Is it boring? Maybe. Something. A little too much tattva maybe, but I'm kind of like not much. I don't have much leela. I'm more into just the hard facts. So, what does Prabhupada say about these lines? Uktam parastad chedisiddhim gata. He says, he's just commenting this way. Oh, I didn't actually, I forgot to say what Prabhupada was saying about this. Why? It's very nice. Because generally, Prabhupada, when he comments, when he translates, or he comments in the verses, he brings them home to us. It's called the Adi Atmik Vichar, Adi Atmik. How does it apply to me? What is the benefit for this Leela or the teaching within? Is there a teaching within this Leela or within this exchange? Is there some teaching or some suggestion or some idea which will benefit me, the reader, the listener, the sadhaka, the devotee, and improve his devotion, improve his bhakti, increase his attachment to Guru and Krishna and Vaishnavas? And Prabhupada brings that out. That's his speciality and that's his glory. And that's his focus. And that should be his followers' focus also. Then the Adi Daivaka Vichar, Nadi Bhotik Vichar. Daiva means Deva, Deva means Kamdev. Kamdev is for Krishna. What is the transcendental? Dev means Divyati, Kamadev. Divyati, the land of Divya. Divyati. Divya, Divya means divine. Divya means divine. Divya means transcendental. And Dev means Divya and also means Divyati. Divyati means when the divine plays. When the Dev, or Divya, plays, it's called Divyati. So Divyati means playful, Ranga. So Adi Dhaivik Vichar, Vichar, the word Vichar means consideration, examination, understanding, viewpoint, looking. So how does, what's happening in this Leela between the Nayaka and the Nayaka, between Krishna and his Parishads, between the gopis and Krishna, that's their speeches, their behavior, their exchanges, their loving exchanges. That's Adi Daivik. And Adi Bhotika, Bhotika means Bhuta. Bhuta means element. Mahapanchabhut. There's five elements, earth, air, water, fire, air, ether. This is called Panchabhut. The Bhutas. Living entities means Bhuta and also elements or Dhatu. Dhatu means element or Bhut. Bhuta. So then, Adi Bhotika means Bhuta. Adi Bhotika, which are the consideration of the elements of Krishna's Leela, the story, the setting, Kala Desh, the place, the time, the season, it's Sharad season, it's full moon, it's Vrindavan, it's the bank of the Yamuna, it's a reddish moon. The elements of the story. Is this clear with everyone? So generally, as in this verse, we have this analogy, this, there's Shukadev, he's guru, and then there's Parikshit Maharaj, he's student. Parikshit has asked a question, I don't understand how gopis, by lust for their illicit lover, they got liberation. Very interesting idea. Can make a nice religion, I'd get a lot of followers. Everyone follow me. You should lust after your paramour. But as long as you're my disciple, if you lust after your paramour, you'll get liberation. Hey, I mean, everybody in the world would be my disciple. I have a huge ashram, 100 floors. 10,000 acres, 5 lakhs of cows. So much money. So then, this is on one level it's that. On another level it's Shukadeva Goswami, who is so rustic that he becomes totally merged in his consciousness when he hears the name of Radha. Why is that? How is it he got like that? Because it says at birth, when he was inside the womb, he was Brahman realized. And he ran away from his father. I don't want anything, this is all Maya. I'm merged in Nirgun Brahma, the Shukadeva. He played that role that he was a Brahmavadi. And he ran away. Brahman realized. And his father sent two disciples after him and said, speak the Bhagavatam to him. Put some sense into him. Aho baki kalastana kuta. So then they spoke two verses. Disciples of Vyasadeva, they spoke two verses. They shouted into the forest because they couldn't find what you can't see, your mouth, your voice can see. There's a limitation to how far and wide you can see with your eyes, but you can see much further with your voice and see much wider. Your eyes go like this, your voice goes like this. So then they couldn't find Shukadeva. He merged in the trees. Only the trees echoed in response, you can see in the first canto. Vyasadeva said, oh, Putra! Putra Kahangaya, come back, come back! Then the trees, the briksha echoed in response, come back, come back, come back. Then that became a famous book in ISKCON, Coming Back. No, it's not like that. And he didn't come back. Shukadeva didn't come back. So naturally the father losing his son, especially, imagine how his mother felt. She carried that son in her womb for 16 years. So she may want to spend a few minutes with him. 16 years he's in the womb and he ran away. Hey, wait a minute, come back, at least come back and say hello to your mother, huh? So then he was too old to chase him, so he sent two disciples. And they told one verse about the Karuna of Krishna, Aho Bhakti Kalastana Kuta. Then he told one verse about the beauty of Krishna. What's that verse? The other verse? Parapida, that's from Venugita, is that right? Venugita, Parapida. They told one verse about the Karuna of Krishna and one verse about the Madhurya Rupa. Madhurya Rupa of Sri Krishna. One about his Aishwarya, his Karuna's compassion. Aho Bhakti Kalastana Kuta. On her stan, on her breast. Bhakti. Who's Bhakti? Bhakti is the sister of that. Bhakti is the sister of Bakasura. She's really beautiful. Oh, haven't you seen her? And she has another beautiful, handsome, dashing brother named Aga. So Aga and Bhakka have a sister named Bhakti, and her name is Putana. And on her breast she smeared all this poison. And Krishna made her, in the third line it says, Datri, he made her a nursemaid. She became an assistant nurse to Yashoda in Vrindavan. In the Aishwarya Vrindavan. Aishwarya Vrindavan and Golok, there's two aspects. So she went there. So she came to kill him, and she became one to Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, as in Datri. Datri means nursemaid, one who can feed milk to the baby when the mother has less milk. She has milk. She met another pregnant lady. Nursemaid. So that was one verse they recited, and then Shukadeva was deep in the forest. Ah, that Brahman is a person, and he has so much karuna. So much compassion, a witch came to murder him, and he made him, and he accepted her as his eternal mother. Oh, this Brahman has features. I thought Brahman was nirgun. How is it possible? He has qualities like compassion, like human qualities. It's amazing. Then they recited Bharapitam, whatever Bharapitam says. And that person is so compassionate. He's so beautiful, Madhurya Rupam. Rupa Madhurya. He's dashing, looks like a dramatic actor. An actor on a dramatic stage, dressed so colorfully and so dear Lalita, dressed with a turban and peacock feather and a sash around his waist, and he looks so beautiful, like a dancer. And he's a dancer, and he's sweet, and he's beautiful. He was attracted, Karshan. And he ran back to his father. His father said, sit down, I'll tell you more. And he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada, commenting on this, about this relationship which we heard from Vishnu, he said like this: because Parikshit Maharaj wanted to clear up the whole situation, his spiritual master, Shukadeva Goswami, answered him very intelligently. He said, "Hey, my dear Priya Shishya, my dear disciple, why are you again asking the same subject which has already been explained to you? Why are you so forgetful?" Then Prabhupada gives his typical comment on the Adi Atmic level. A spiritual master is always in a superior position, so he has a right to chastise his disciple in this way. Shukadeva Goswami knew that Parikshit was asking the question not for his own understanding, but as a warning to the future innocent people who might think others to be equal to Krishna. So that's Prabhupada's comment on these first two lines. Uktam purastat etatte chedya siddham yatartha. So now we're discussing Dvishanapi Rishikesha. So then we can see what Vishwanath Chakravarti says. The word Rishikesha, everyone knows this word, pretty much. What's the verse where it's so much common? This is a very common verse. From this verse, taking this verse from Padma Puran, because the Sun Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami Pad, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano, Sad Dharma Samstapako, Lokana Mitakarano Tribhuvane. Sharanya Karo. That the Six Goswami, especially Sanatana and Rupa, Nana Shastra Vichara. Adiyatmik Vichara. They considered, they deeply examined, they considered, they read, they studied, they analyzed Nana Shastra. All Nana, various books, Puranas, Itihas, Ramayan, Mahabharat, Agamas, Shruti, Smritis, everything. They analyzed and deeply studied them. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipun. And they were very expert in this matter because they were Saraswat Brahmins, fully versed in Sanskrit, Persian, Hindi, so many languages they knew. And they were Vaishnavas. That was the main qualification. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno. Sad Dharma Samstapako. Samstakacharya Iskan Samstakacharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness means Samstak. Samstak means founder. Samstakacharya. So they established Sadharma, the eternal religious principles. So he read this verse, Rupa Goswami read Padma Puran, a definition of devotion. Uttam Bhakti. This is Bhakti. Sarvupadi vaniramuktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikesha rishikena sevanam bhakti yushate. This is Bhakti. From this verse, he began his book called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nectar ocean of devotion. First, if we want to describe something, we begin the description by a definition of what that thing is. Then we describe the definition, which is the identity. Then we describe the guna, sarup lakshana, the primary characteristics, secondary characteristics, sarup lakshana, tatastha lakshana, then the functions, and then the usages, then the benefits, so many points. So firstly, in his Mangala Charan, he wants to define the object which he will write extensively about. So very beginning in the Mangala Charana, in his 11th verse of his Mangala Charana, his opening verses, which are oftentimes summary of the entire book, and they're also invocatory prayers, Mangala Charan, auspicious beginnings. You pray for mercy of Acharya, Guru, and your Thakurji, then you may summarize the content of the book in the Mangala Charana, and you may give the basic theme. He did that. And verse number 11. Verse number 11 is a definition of Shuddha Bhakti. He took the Padma Puran one step further with all the input, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, which he derived from the heart, the input and realization, understanding, which Rupa Goswami Pad derived directly from the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu lovingly embraced him at Dashashvamedha Ghat in Allahabad, Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swa Padantika. He received the heart of Lord Chaitanya. The heart of Lord Chaitanya contained all the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sambandha Gyan, and the heart of Lord Chaitanya contained all the Abhideya Gyan and Prayojana Gyan. So then he wrote Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Upadeshamrita and Stavamala, and Padyavali, and Hamsadutta, and Uddhava Sandesh, and so many things for the benefit of Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So what is bhakti? Because we are bhakti yogis. So then he defined it in this verse. Everyone knows this verse? Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmad yanavritam anukul yena krishnanu shilam bhakti uchate. Shilam bhaktir uttama. He didn't say bhaktir uchate. Padma Puran ends by bhaktir uchate. This uchate uvacha, this is said to be devotion. But Rupa Goswami says, this is said to be uttam bhakti, the topmost prema bhakti, when it has these characteristics, surup lakshana and tatastha lakshana. It's like this. So now, Rishikesh, this word in the verse, Rishikesh, says, Dvishan Rishikesh, that he was envious of Rishikesh, a Rishikesh. So that name, that word is there in that Padma Puran verse, that Rishika. Rishik means senses. So what does Vishnu say? The word Rishikesham indicates that Krishna personally descends to this world by his unconditional causeless mercy. Even though Krishna is inaccessible to the senses, Rishik means indriya, senses. You can't see Krishna, touch him, smell him. Even though that's the fact, he's inaccessible and invisible to people like Brahma. Nevertheless, Krishna makes himself visible by his inconceivable divine potency, Achintya Shakti, and allows himself to be seen by the senses of even the lowest men. Why? Krishna does this out of his compassion, anugraha, to deliver those low men. And thus he exhibits his compassion this way. It's very nice. So Rishikesh means many things. Generally, Rishika Isha means Shishupal was envious of the controller of the senses. Ish means controller, Lord. But Vishwanath explains it in a whole different way. He uses Rishika in this verse to show that he came to this world to show himself. He showed himself to Shishupal. Shishupal saw him. And so many people saw Krishna with their material eyes in the battle of Kurukshetra. Some saw him as God. Some saw him as a king, depending on the position of their heart. But everyone who saw him got benefit, got promotion. Some got the perfect promotion. So he takes it like in this way. Rishika means this. And now we can see more points. We'll go to the next line. And then he says, so that's Rishikesh. So he, rather than thinking that this is an Aishwarya name that describes the Lord of the senses, who is the Lord of the senses? The Lord of the senses is Vishnu, Shirdakshay Vishnu. And he is the one who is invisible to Brahma. When Brahma has problems in the universe with some demon or some devotees being harassed, like Mother Bhumi, this is one planet in the universe. There's thousands and millions of planets. So Mother Bhumi, who's in charge of this planet, Bhumimata, she appealed to Brahma. She said, listen, I'm one of your planets. I'm created by you. And I'm suffering because of the lying and cheating of all these demoniac kings. Can you do something about it? So he said, really, they're too powerful for me. I can't deal with them. I'm busy in Hari Katha. I'm busy in meditation in Hari Katha. But I'll ask Vishnu. He can do the needful. Besides, I just created it. I'm not in charge of maintaining. I'm not the Palana. I'm the Shristi. I created it in conjunction with Vishnu, but it's his business to take care of it now. So then Brahma went to the Kira Samudra, the ocean of milk, but he couldn't see Vishnu lying on Lakshmi. It was all clouds and vapor, and it was a cloudy day. He could just understand. So he looked towards Vishnu, although he could not see him with his eyes. Tene Brahma Rida Yad Adi Kavye. Tene Brahma Yad Adi Kavye. Then it's explained in 10th canto that he communicated through his mind to the mind of Vishnu. Telepathy, mental telepathy. He communicated the difficulty and complaint of Mother Bhumi and the pious religious residents of the earth who are being harassed and victimized by the demoniac rulers like Kuns and others. Then he, unlike any other demigod, at least he has that power of mental connection with Vishnu. Other demigods can't do that. Brahma can because of his vast intelligence and his vast meditative powers, and because of his intimacy with Vishnu as Swayambhu. How was he born? He's directly born from the navel of Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So now, and then from his anger came Rudra, Brahma's anger. And all these descriptions are there. So then, through mental telepathy, he received a message in his heart. Tene Rida Brahma. In his heart, he received a message, and Vishnu conveyed to him, yes, soon I will appear, and I will remove the burden from the earth and establish religious principles. So then he told everyone, soon Vishnu is coming. So Rishikesh usually applies to that Shirdakshay Vishnu who's controlling the universe and who's also inside her heart. He's within this universe on Shirdakshay Loka, and he's within her heart, floating in her heart, and he's controlling our senses, if our senses are controlled. Vasuvegam Anasagodavegam. So Rishikesh, who's living within our body, is maintaining our senses. He's the maintainer of our body. That's the name for Vishnu. But interestingly enough, as you heard, Vishnu takes the name Rishika to apply to Krishna. Yada yada hi dharmasya. That Rishikesh is Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Vrindavan Sri Krishna, who out of his karuna, he's not the Lord of the heart, he's the Lord of Vrindavan. He comes to this world and he shows Rasa Leela. He shows Mathura Leela, Vrindavan Leela, and Dwarka Leela. Out of his love for the conditioned souls. Look, see me, Putana. Touch me, Putana. Grab me, Putana. That's his love. So this, he's taking Rishika to mean Krishna. So then, although it's Aishvarya Nam, ostensibly Rishikesh is Aishvarya. It applies to Vishnu or the Super Soul. Or this power is actually, when the rustic janas describe it, Rishikesh becomes Krishna Vrindavan. He's visible to Radharani, he's also visible to Putana. Isn't it? He embraces his mother Yashoda and sucks her breast, and he's visible to her. And he embraces Putana and sucks her breast, and she's visible to him. And she's speaking to him, oh child, child, leave me, death of my life, please leave me. She was flying through the air because that's her medium. She's a flight expert. Ke Chadi. Ke means sky. She's an aeroplane woman. She's a space woman. Not a transcendental spaceman like Narada Muni. She travels through the air. She's an aerial woman a flying lady. And her flying machine is her body. She's the original witch, flying in her witchcraft. Kay Chadi, one who moves through the sky. Hawa Chadi. So the Kaitri is a class of witches, blood-sucking witches, and she was a big one. Putana. Putana means maid of hell. Put means hell. So then she said, I don't feel very comfortable here on the ground. I'm walking on the ground. I've entered Gokul. I picked up this baby, Gokul Raj, Gopal, and Nandilal, and I put him on my breast, and I want to just simply feed him all this Halahuta poison, and finish him and go back to Kamsa and tell him I did the work. I killed the little boy that's supposed to kill you. So now give me some prasad or whatever. But it's not working. Oh, he's sucking out my life. Let me. And then she flew into the sky. Krishna said, "Oh, what a nice view of Vrindavan. I want to take a few aerial shots for my website." Krishna was thinking, "I want to take some aerial shots of Vrindavan for my Facebook to send to, and Radharani can look on her Facebook tonight." Down in Ravel. So then he flew up, he went in a Putana Airlines, and he's flying. Oh, look at that. There's a mango orchard. I didn't know that. And just beyond the border of Vrindavan, and just in the forest, there's a big forest separating Vrindavan from Mathura, and the first forest is all mango trees. There's a whole orchard of mangoes, and Krishna saw it. He said, "Oh, this is a good place to land. This is a very good place to land." So then he finished the job, and then she crashed down, boom! And Krishna just landed there. Her body was 12 miles long, so it fell down partially in the outskirts of Vrindavan, and then on into Mathura. And then the mango trees were there. So Krishna, the mangoes were falling right on top of Putana's belly. So Krishna left her breast and started eating, sitting on her belly eating mangoes, ripe mangoes. And then So this is Krishna's leela. It's so much that he took advantage of that kechari. So everything becomes sweet when touched by Krishna. So we'll look at this word, kim ut okshaja priya. That the trans... adhokshaja means beyond the senses. Adhokshaja. It's interesting. He's Rishika. He controls the senses, but Krishna's compassion, he's visible to the senses. The next word is, he's a hokshaja. He's the controller of the senses. The super soul is Rishikesh. He's called Rishikesh. He controls the senses. But do you see the super soul? No. Super soul is Rishikesh, and he's a hokshaja. So Krishna is that Paramatman, because in the previous verse it says Krishna's Paramatman, Paramatmanam too. Krishna is the super soul. So much tattva Sukadeva Goswami's giving to establish that Krishna is not some lusty boy dancing with somebody else's wives. These are his Aladini Shakti, Kala, his Amsha. They're his expansions of his Ladini Shakti, his Sarup Shakti, Antaranga Shakti, the gopis. And who is this Krishna? Is he some ordinary human being, Manush, like us, and we can imitate him? No, he can't be imitated. He's the Paramatma, he's Bhagavan, the Paramatma, he's the Super Soul. He's Rishikesh, he's a Hoksaja. He's beyond the purview of the material senses. Rishikesh and Hoksaja. But he's Priya. It says that he's all these things, but then to his devotees, he's very dear to his devotees. Sukadeva Goswami said, this point was explained to you previously, since even Shishupal, who hated Krishna, achieved perfection, and what to speak of the Lord's dear devotees. And Srila Prabhupada says, on hearing this question, verse 12 of Maharaj Pariksit, Sukadeva replied, "My dear king, your question is already answered even before this incident." So now, the Acharya's comments on this particular verse, now at Hoksarja. What does Vishwanath Chakravarti say about this at Hoksarja? So then he says, this is more on Shishupal. By citing Shishupal as an example, Sukadeva Goswami reveals a confidential truth. as I mentioned, as the gopis attained spiritual bodies in their homes, similarly, Shishupal assumed his eternal spiritual body as an associate of the Lord. And he gave up his Gunamaya Deha. And that's kind of what happens to us. Are we envious of Krishna? What's the answer? Yes, that's we're conditioned souls. Ichadvesha Samutena. Obviously, we have some envy in a conditioned stage. So when we receive Krishna's mercy, then we give up our Gunamaya Deha and we assume our eternal spiritual body. Because we also have eternal spiritual bodies. In reality, Shishupal's spiritual body as a personal associate of Krishna was always present, hidden within. Very nice point by Vishnath. In reality, our spiritual body as an eternal servant of Krishna is always hidden within this material body. So this is a very nice point that he's saying. Although the spiritual nature of the conditioned soul may be covered by illusion in whatever form that is, the illusion of envy or pride or lordship or controlship, we're in some degree of illusion because maya means we're an illusion. Prabhupada said that being a devotee means declaring war against the illusory energy, maya. So obviously we're an illusion. Otherwise we're realized. Our spiritual body and our nature may be covered by illusion, but Krishna's spiritual nature is omnipotent and never covered by any other power. All other powers are his energy and function according to his will. So the Lord's spiritual influence, his power, his spiritual prabhav, does not depend on whether someone understands him or not. Because the gopis really didn't understand that Krishna's Paramatma, or God, or Rishikesh. They simply loved him as a beautiful boy of Vrindavan. Because the focus of their love happened to be God, even without all the tattva and understanding that one may require ordinarily, they attained spontaneous love. And thus Krishna himself guaranteed their spiritual perfection. So the idea here is, even if we don't have knowledge of Krishna, what does Krishna say in Gita to confirm this? You may not have knowledge of Krishna, because oftentimes people argue, without Gyan you can't realize Krishna. But Krishna doesn't say that. In the last chapter, Bhakti Mama Vijananti Yavanyashchasmi Tattvataha. He says, you can really only know Krishna Tattva by Bhakti. If you're a bhakta, then you get everything that's in the Bhagavatam. By bhakti, you get jnana and vairagya. So gopis had such pure bhakti, such love. They gave up everything. Love Krishna, you only have to do two things. Develop so much love for Krishna that you can give up everything else. If we can love Krishna so much that we can give up everything else, sarva dharma pritya, then we go to Braj. And Mame Vaye Purpan, we end up with only the shelter of Krishna. Now we have so many shelters. Simply love Krishna and give up everything. Then you'll attain Krishna, whether you have any degrees or any knowledge or whether you know any shlokas or anything. But loving Krishna is not so easy. And generally, there's a standard path that one follows. And part of it is acquiring knowledge. So these are the discussions in verse 13. Covered most of the points of the acharyas here. And I think we can finish the class and then start verse 14 tomorrow. He's spending, as I said, from verses all the way to 16, this is the discourse. He's taking interlude to discuss the philosophy behind this whole Rasa Leela, which is about to unfold. It's such a deep pastime, that such an important pastime. Shukadeva Goswami and Vedavyas, and of course Pariksha Maharaj, they want to completely clear the atmosphere once forever about the transcendental position of the gopis and Krishna and the Rasa Leela itself. Madhvacharya, he quotes lots of verses here about this on his commentary. Madhvacharya's, he quotes the Skanda Puran to describe the supreme position of the gopis, because he's commenting in this word Purastam, Purvam. Prikshit, listen, prior, before I told you about Shishupal, how he was liberated by, even though he was envious, Dvishan. He hated the Lord and was envious. He was liberated. What to speak of the gopis with a favorable attitude of love? And who are these gopis? He says, from Skanda Puran, Purvam Chagyan Samyuktas Tatrapi Prayashastata Atastasam Param Brahma Gatir Asin Nakamata. In their previous lives, most of the gopis were already fully endowed with transcendental knowledge. Because who were they? We're talking about the sadhana siddha gopis in this part of the Bhagavatam, 29th chapter. Shruticharis and Municharis. Shrutis and Munis means they know the Shrutis. They had knowledge, although in this form as gopis, they're appearing that we don't know, we only know, he's just, we don't know who he is, we know, we just love him. But prior, in their chitta, in their sanskaras, in their chitta, in their previous thousands of births, they knew everything about Krishna's identity, and they knew who the gopis were, and they accepted the gopis as their role models, and they followed the gopi anugata, they followed the path of Raghunuga Bhakti, the Shruticharis and Rishicharis, to attain gopihood and gopi deha, and Madhurya Bhava and Vrindavan. So they knew very well the full identity of Krishna, the complete transcendental identity of Madhurya Purushottam Sri Krishna and Shringar Ras and the gopis, and they willfully chose to follow them. In their previous lives, most of the gopis were already fully endowed with transcendental knowledge. It is because of this knowledge, not their lust, they were able to attain the supreme Brahman. So Skanda Purana says that. Although it's saying that the verse is saying that they lusted after Krishna, they thought of Krishna as a paramour. In this, as gopis, they only thought, he's our lover, that's all we know, that's all we want to know. And Yogamaya made it that way. But sometimes in separation, Yogamaya would make them remember, well, actually, he's our Kanta, but he's also Paramatma. And he also killed Bali standing behind a tree. He was also Ramachandra. And he was also Varaha. And he was also, they remember the different avatars you see in the Rasleela. They remember who he was. And so they have this knowledge in viraha, separation. But primarily, they forgot all their previous learning. He's our Kanta. It's there, that prior knowledge, that purva gyan is there and it's not there. So really they know, and it's not really their lust. So he wants to establish it. It wasn't just that they were lusty. Although even if you're lusty, and the focus of your lust is no one else but Krishna, then that's called the, was it that love of Kuja, the Samartha, Samanjasa, and Sadharani. Sadharani. Sadharani means, Sadharan means commonplace. Sadharan. Sadharan means common or ordinary love. Although it wasn't that ordinary. But Kubja, the girl, the sandalwood lady, and sometimes they say she's a prostitute, but sometimes they say she had no men, so there are different viewpoints. And we take the idea that she had never been touched by anyone because she's an expansion of Satyabhama. She's an expansion of Satyabhama, who is an expansion of Mother Bhumi. So she was bent down in three places because the heavy burden of the earth was suffering. She, as Mother Bhumi, represented by Trivakra, was bent down like that. And so she was untouched by anyone. But she, her love, she was lusty. She didn't know anything about Krishna. He entered Mathura and he touched her and she became beautiful and she became lusty to enjoy with him. So her love was just lust for her pleasure. But it was her lust was completely fixed on Krishna and not Kamsa or anyone else. She never looked at anyone. She was always looking at the ground. She couldn't see anyone anyway. So it's called Sadharani. Looks like ordinary love, ordinary lusty love, or love at first sight, but it was actually based on love, lust only for Krishna. So it was a category of prema. Samanjasa Rati, Sadharani Rati, and Samartha Rati. Gopis are Samartha, and queens are Samanjasa. There's some discussion. We discussed actually this before. Then he cites another verse. He says, "The natu jnanam rite moksho nanya panteti hi shuti kama yukta tada bhaktir jnanam cha vimuktiga." The Vedas declare that without spiritual knowledge, there is no way to attain liberation. That's why generally jnanis and Chaturvedi Brahmins or other learned people, vidvans, they say, bhakti without jnana, you'll get nowhere. You must have jnana. Because the Vedas say that without knowledge, there's no mukti. And then the verse goes on, kam yukta tada bhaktir. Because these apparently lusty girls, kam yukta, possess devotion and knowledge, they achieve liberation. It says, bhakti jnana. Kam yukta. Their kam, the gopis' kam or lust was yukta. Yukta means linked with or joined with bhakti gyan. Bhakti gyan means not. We don't have to have advayan gyan, knowledge of Brahman. We have to have knowledge of Krishna. Krishna sambandha tattva. Krishna sambandha tattva. Who is that Krishna? It's nam rupa guna lila. It's called bhakti gyan. There's gyan, we say yes, gyan, but bhakti gyan, which means actually Krishna. Bhakti means Krishna, and everything about Krishna. Everything, knowledge and awareness, everything about Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes. And this is just expressions and cultivation of bhakti, not really a separate cultivation of gyan as a separate pursuit. Gyan as a means to attain mukti. It's just bhakti to attain more bhakti. The beginning is bhakti, and the middle is bhakti, and the end is bhakti. It's bhakti abhas, then it's shuddha bhakti, then bhava bhakti, then prema bhakti. It's always favorable cultivation of activities for the pleasure and satisfaction of Krishna. Whereas jnana is simply a collecting knowledge for one's own purification or elevation or understanding or illumination. It may not necessarily have any connection or pleasure or favorability for Krishna. So bhakti, that's why he said just do bhakti, you get vairagya, you get jnana, you get everything, detachment. So this is Madhvacharya's comment. So tomorrow, lots of philosophy, huh? Tomorrow there's more. So tomorrow there's Prabhupada has some commentary on Rishikesh at Hoksaja. Very nice. First he says, if an envious person gets salvation simply by concentrating his mind on Krishna, then what to speak of the gopis who are so dear to Krishna, always thinking of him in love. And Prabhupada says, what does this word Rishikesh and Hoksaja mean? And he says, these two particular words are used by Parikshit in this instance. Rishikesh, actually it's used by Shukadev. That's incorrect spelling. In this instance, Rishikesh is a super soul, and Hoksaja is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rishikesh means the controller of the senses, as I mentioned, and Hoksaja means beyond our sense perception. We can maybe perceive by our internal perception, by our mental perception, internal perception, we can perceive the existence of super soul within us. This is the process of Dhyana Yoga, Raja Yoga. To perceive Chaturbhuj Narayan, to see. So therefore Rishikesh applies to the Paramatma within our hearts, who is visible through the process of meditation. That's what the personal Jnana Yogis pursue. But then at Hoksaja, Prabhupada said this only can apply to Krishna, who we can't see, because he's not in our heart. Hoksaja applies to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transcendental to material nature. Just to show favor to the ordinary living entities out of his causeless mercy, this Krishna appears as he is. Unfortunately, foolish persons think that Krishna is another ordinary person. Of course, that's echoing the Bhagavad Gita. Avajananti mam mudha manusham tanam ashrita. Because Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is so much saturating his consciousness, even his writing, it's always there. The backbone of Bhagavatam is Gita. and the realization of Gita is Bhagavatam. Interesting point. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai.